grab the keys to a new Toyota.
Let's go!
And go apple picking. Go to a football game. Go ghost hunting. Or not. This fall, get a low lease on the sporty 2024 Corolla. Adventure-ready RAV4 Hybrid, rugged Tacoma, and even the new all-hybrid 2025 Camry.
Grab the keys, come on, let's go!
Toyota, let's go places. Offer available to TFS buyers with premium rated credit until 11/4/24.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. By Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
It's put out to center. Here comes Will Smith. He chips it on the left wing side as he was being checked there from the right wing by Chicago's Craig Smith. And he shoots it around the boards, and now Cunnan gets it back. Rink wide. Will Smith takes the shot. He scores! First NHL goal for Will Smith at 6:52 in the first, and what a rocket of a shot! Snapping the puck from the left wing corner, top shelf. Sharks 1, Blackhawks nothing.
I mean, it obviously is nice getting the first one, but, in this world, you can't always, have it be a perfect start, and you gotta, fight through some stuff. So, I mean, good to see one going, and then it's good to see a second one going, too.
The mood's good. I think the team is excited, and obviously three wins, and it's hard to win in this league. For myself, we have a lot of work to do. We got to clean up some areas. Third period wasn't obviously very good, but good teams find ways to win those types of hockey games, so it's good to see the positives of that, but we have some work to do.
And the work is never done, but for the San Jose Sharks, the hard work is paying off. They are riding a three-game win streak. It is now the 1st of November. The Sharks did not even get their first win last year until the month of November, and the Sharks have a three-game win streak to close off the first month of the season in the NHL, in which they started 0-7-2. It did not look like things were pointed in a positive direction at that point, and now things are rapidly improving for San Jose, and that's the best part about this, is that there is such a malaise that hangs over a team when you have years like the team went through the last two. You see these things happen and you say you can't separate them from what happened previously. So when we saw the Sharks get off to a slow start this year, it was hard not to immediately make comparisons to what we saw last year. And while there were comparisons to be made, I'm not trying to deny that in the slightest, it should also be noted that the San Jose Sharks got a point in their first game of the season and the third game of the season. They were able to get 2 points much quicker than they did a year ago, and they were also in games to a much greater extent. Yes, they had a bad night against Winnipeg on the second night of a back-to-back, and they got beat up by a Vegas team that is very much high-powered and has aspirations to be a contender this year. Same story with Winnipeg. But just because you get beat bad in the NHL does not mean that you are at the same historically low levels that you were a year ago. And granted, I could be wrong. This could be a blip on the radar and the Sharks could go back to the bottom of the table in a real hurry and it could spiral out of control again. All within the realm of possibilities. But I don't think any of us looked at the roster this year and thought that the team would go 0-7-2. Of course, you are adding into that the injury to Macklin Celebrini, which did change things a bit for San Jose. But I don't think anyone thought at the start of the season that the Sharks would start off 0-7-2. But that's the reality of the NHL. You have to figure out how to deal with the problems that you are thrown and make your team the best that it can possibly be. And San Jose had a road-heavy schedule early on, and they were punished for it. And they were punished for not being the most talented team out there in the NHL. But in the first game against St. Louis, they were in it. In the second game against Anaheim, they were in it. In the third game against Dallas, they were in it. In their fourth game against Chicago, they got off to a slow start, but they were still in it. And then you had the game against Winnipeg, in which they were most decidedly not in it. That's the one that everyone points to and says, yeesh, what happened there? And then you've got the game against the Avs, of which the 4-1 scoreline probably doesn't accurately represent the way that game was played. You lose to the Ducks 3-1. You lose to the Kings 3-2, so that's back-to-back games in which your defense has quieted down after you give up 4, 8, and 4. You're only giving up 3 in back-to-back games versus Anaheim and LA. You have a tough loss against Vegas, and then you get the wild comeback win against Utah. You cut down on the penalties there. Your shot volume goes up to its season high at that point. Then you get a nice balanced win over the Kings, what you get out in front, get your first win at home, get your feet under you. And then now you have this next win against Chicago in which the Sharks jumped out to an early lead thanks to Will Smith. They gave up two goals in quick succession, but after that, they shut it down. And then they were able to fight their way back into the game, get a goal from Wenberg, his second of the year after he netted the game winner in Utah in overtime. And then you get a third goal, the second of his career, the second of the night from Will Smith, 3-2. Mackenzie Blackwood has his best game of the year, and the San Jose Sharks are able to ride that to a 3-2 win, a game that I don't think at this point last year they were capable of winning, and they just seem to be that much more of a relaxed, relieved, and capable team. This did not seem possible a week ago, and so they are growing before our eyes. We're watching the team materialize and turn into something in real time, and it's very fun to watch. Seeing these players develop, seeing the chemistry turn into something in real time, these are all things that we had wanted to see, and now we're seeing it. The hard work is paying off, and for the San Jose Sharks, where they are far from a complete team at this point, because there were many points at that game last night against Chicago, in which Mackenzie Blackwood, if he doesn't bail them out, the Sharks are walking away with another tough finish, but still, they had the answers. They had those moments where they stepped up and said, okay, we have this situation in front of us. How are we going to respond to it? And obviously, it wasn't that slow, but they had the answers, whereas previously they didn't have the answers. When it came to the acid test of war, they passed the test. And so for the San Jose Sharks, they have momentum for the first time in a long time, and they head into the month of November, where they're going to host Vancouver on Saturday night and think to themselves, we've got a chance here. We're playing our best hockey. We feel like we're getting better night in, night out. And so they have now an opportunity to continue a homestand in which they are 2-for-2 to start it off. Now there are three games remaining: Saturday night hosting Vancouver, Tuesday hosting Columbus, and Thursday hosting the Wild before they go back out on the road on Sunday and Monday, the 10th and the 11th. But 2-for-2 to start a homestand is a good way to get things started. Speaking of getting things started,
no score here in the first period. Just over 6 minutes played, and Will Smith scores his first National Hockey League goal.
Good work along the boards by Cody Ceci. Fantastic help by Luke Cunning. And there it is, his first NHL goal. Will Smith, ladies and gentlemen.
In his ninth game.
You heard Dan's call earlier, so I thought I'd give you a taste of Randy's call as well. But Will Smith has his breakthrough moment for San Jose. It comes early in the game, which in my opinion is part of that tone setting that San Jose needs to work on, because they'd had so much issues as of late falling behind in games. But just to start it off like that, to me, was huge. Will Smith, assisted by Luke Cunning, and Cody Ceci, gives the Sharks a 1-0 lead, 6:52 into the first period. And for Will Smith, this is a moment, a lifetime in the making, albeit a very short lifetime, but he found the back of the net. He had had some other moments earlier this year where he was maybe a little bit snake bit, but you've got to earn it in the NHL. You've got to work for it. There is not going to be any easy goal. There is not going to be anything that you don't have to earn and fight for in the NHL. And Will Smith finally gets that opportunity, puts the puck in the back of the net with a beautiful goal, and was decisive in doing so. One of the things that I have looked at Will Smith this year is watched him not know exactly how to play without the puck on his stick, because for so much of his career, that's where it was. And so when you watch that puck make it to him, there was zero hesitation. There was no apprehension. It was just he got it, settled it, took the shot, found the back of the net, and gave the Sharks the early 1-0 lead. In his second goal, he was again showing signs of learning the league, because in the first goal, there was zero hesitation. The second goal, he received the puck and waited for a second because he knew that the defender would be overcommitting, and so he just hesitated for just a moment, then found his lane to take the shot. That is growth that is happening in real time. That is what is so fun about this, because for Will Smith, you are watching it happen. You are seeing exactly what he can bring to the table, And again, that's fun right now. Like, you're watching the team have fun. You're watching Will Smith have fun. You're watching them all learn how to be a team together. You're watching Will Smith individually learn how to play at the NHL level. It's not supposed to be easy, guys. I know that Macklin Celebrini had 2 points in his first period. We don't know what would have happened next, A, and we don't know what's going to happen when he gets back out there on the ice, hopefully on the 5th. But right now, Will Smith, after having some difficulty early, and I think it was maybe not fair to classify it as a struggle, because to me, it was just a player who's learning the league. And now, maybe he's taking those first steps. Now we're watching him grow into the player that we all know he's capable of being. But for him to put it in the back of the net, a huge moment for him, a huge moment for San Jose. And that was what got things going for the Sharks in this game and allowed them to have a different type of game than they've won previously, because after that, it was two quick goals in succession that saw them down 2-1. But after that, it was no more offense for Chicago, thanks in part to Mackenzie Blackwood.
Will Smith steals it, feeds it across the rink, and grabbed by Barkley Goodrow there, but checked away by Dickinson to Ryan Donato, who moves into the Sharks' end, centering pass Mikheyev, shot right on, save made by Mackenzie Blackwood, and the rebound pushed out. That's a big save by Blackwood.
Big save by Blackwood could have just been the theme of the night over and over and over again, because he was absolutely phenomenal, especially in the third period when he was just getting pummeled wave after wave of attackers from Chicago, and even at the end when it was 6-on-4. And that was just Mackenzie Blackwood showing up to be the goalie we all know he is capable of being. He saw 28 shots, 26 saves, a .929 save percentage. He was out there for every minute of action. He was a wall for the San Jose Sharks tonight. And the first goal, maybe he wants that one back. The second one, there was not much that he could do. But right now, Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek are just kind of going back and forth. I think that if you ask Mackenzie, the game that he played in Utah on Monday night, that was not his best game. But ultimately, he was able to recover and play better as it went on. Then he saw Vitek have a big performance against LA, and he said, you know what? I want to keep pace with this. Nobody wants to be the goalie at this point who has the game that's viewed as problematic or why the Sharks streak comes to an end. And Mackenzie just was absolutely a monster throughout the entirety of this game, making save after save after save after save. And too many times we have seen Mackenzie Blackwood in particular not get the offensive support that he deserves. Well, he got 3 goals at home. That feels like for many good NHL teams, that is going to be enough. You feel like you can get more, obviously, but he got 3. They only gave up 2, and that was enough for him. We saw some of these other games earlier in the year where, you know, they did not give him the support that he needed, even though he had some good performances. But tonight, he had to hold tight. He had to be his best self, but he got enough support so that the two sides were able to work hand in hand and help the Sharks get a win. It is a team sport. It's not about Mackenzie Blackwood being able to stand on his head and collectively lead the way. It's not about the offense being able to put up 20 goals and lead the way. It's got to be a game-to-game thing. You see what the game's giving up. You see what the game is offering you. You make the most of it. The Sharks and Mackenzie Blackwood made the most of it tonight, and they walk away with a huge win. Another one of the reasons that the Sharks walked away with a win in this game is Alex Wennberg, who is continuing to make his presence felt.
Zetterlin carries it down the wing. Makes the move on Alex Vlasic. Now he powers his way from the corner out toward the front of the net. It was kind of checked away there by the goaltender, Mrazek. Now it's Zetterlin on the near side. Guns one on net. Boy, he had trouble handling that. They score! That was poked at on the rebound. As I mentioned, Mrazek was having trouble handling that hard shot by Fabian Zetterlin. And somehow, as the Sharks banged at the puck, it wound up in the back of the net. And 1:30 into the second period, it's a 2-2 tie. It was Wennberg that was in there, and I think he might have gotten his stick on it, but that's great pressure by both Wennberg and also by William Eklund, who was in front of the goal, and the Sharks have evened the score.
So after a first period in which the Sharks scored a goal to take a lead and then gave up 2 goals in about 90 seconds to find themselves down 2-1 early in the second period, get a game-tying goal from Alex Wennberg, who gets the assist from Fabian Zetterlin and Jake Walman. It's 2-2. And one of the things we've been talking about with the San Jose Sharks is just getting more and more players contributing. We knew that Tyler Toffoli, we knew that Mikael Granlund, that Fabian Zetterlin, and William Eklund were going to be the core four, to borrow from our friends at the San Francisco Giants, but you were waiting for more people to get in on the action. Well, Wennberg, in two out of the last three games, has been getting in on it. He has been scoring goals. That's two now in the last three games. Cody Ceci on the score line tonight. Will Smith, he had two goals. Jake Wallman, he continued his point streak. Luke Cunningham, he got in on it. Like, these are all players that need to be consistent contributors for San Jose if they want to keep on getting wins. And yes, we want to see Henry Thrun and Ethan Cardwell and Jack Thompson and Daniil Gushin and Mario Ferraro, Nico Sturm, Jan Ruda, Carl Grundstrom, Barclay Goodrow. We want everybody in on it. But on certain nights, you're not always going to have Zetterlin just getting you incredible goals or incredible playmaking from William Eklund or Mikhail Granlund and Tyler Toffoli just doing everything out there on their own. You need to have everybody contributing, and watching a Alex Wennberg or a Cody Ceci or whoever it is going to be part of that scoring that's happening out there on the ice, that was a necessary step. It is not in any way, shape, or form surprising that we're at this point of the season and you are getting wins as you're getting more and more guys contributing and being able to put points up at the end of the game when we're looking back and saying, okay, who contributed here? We've seen Wallman have incredible performances. We've seen CeCe now showing up. We've seen Wennberg. Cunningham has been getting a little bit more consistent. I mean, this just does not surprise you. You need everyone to be contributing. You need everybody to get in on it. And, you know, now things are going to change, obviously, with the Benning trade and Liljeberg getting in there with San Jose. We're hopefully going to see if he can contribute on the power play, as the Sharks need to be able to create more offense consistently. Yes, they did win this game, but they only scored three goals. You need more than that. Three goals does not make it easy. It puts an incredible amount of pressure on your netminder, and credit to Mackenzie Blackwood. He showed up big, but, you know, while they are getting more contributions across the board, they still need more. They still need more from everyone else. They need more from Will Smith. They need more from Wennberg. They need more from Wallman. They need more from CeCe. It's not fair just to say, okay, you're giving me something, give me more. But listen, the Sharks, if they want to keep on winning games, if they want to continue to have good results and especially feel better about themselves when these games come to a close by way of a win, they need everybody stepping up. And that's got to be the standard right now. Everybody gets in each game thinking, I'm going to add a goal to this game. I am going to add an assist to this game. I'm going to show up on that score sheet. And then it goes down to effort, right? Like, you look at this game and the way it went down, especially with the Sharks being perfect on the penalty kill, that's a huge, huge part of this game that maybe is going to go overlooked because we're going to talk so much about Will Smith and Mackenzie Blackwood. But, you know, the Blackhawks had multiple opportunities on the power play and they were shut out. And the Sharks, they were one for one on their power play opportunity. So that is a big reason why the Sharks were able to walk away with the win in this game. When the Sharks were asked the question, they had the answer, whereas the Blackhawks did not. Now, we heard it from Ryan Warsawski earlier in this show that the Sharks are still a work in progress, but let's think back to that. Let's think about what the Sharks were doing and how they were doing. They were falling behind early in games. Have they taken steps in the last two games to not do so? Yes, they did have a 1-0 lead in this game. They fell behind 2-1, but 2-1 after having a lead is not the same as being down 2-0 or 3-1 and 4-1 at the end of a first period, or 5-1 just moments into his second period. And let's talk about the penalty situation. Yes, they did take three in this game, but when we're comparing that to 5 and 6 and 7, that shows that they are making strides, that they are bettering their team out there on the ice, because we all knew that it wasn't going to be every single game the Sharks, you know, just melting down in terms of those penalties, but we also knew that they were going to have to make those corrections. They've made those corrections. Is it going to be every game? No, of course, but they had to slow things down. They had to change what was happening. And now we have seen them not falling behind at the same rate that they were previously. Are they going to have other games this year where they fall behind? Of course. Everyone knows that's part of the narrative for a team where the Sharks are right now, but we have watched them take steps to improve that over the last couple of games. And, you know, right now the Utah one of this three-game win streak is the aberrant one, because that's the one where they did fall behind. They have rectified that in these last two games. And now against a team like Vancouver, I'm going to be very curious to see what the Sharks do, because Vancouver was very, very good 1 year ago. We know that this is not the same Vancouver team. They are right now, 4-2-3, 11 points on the season. So not off to the hot start they were a year ago, but they still have a lot of top-end talent, and they're still going to be a big challenge for San Jose. So let's see. Let's see what happens early on in this game. Let's see if the Sharks can handle the pressure. Let's see if the Sharks can figure out what exactly they need to be, because Vancouver, as we heard Randy allude to this in the game, they're coming off a performance that they were not very happy with, as Wednesday night they got spanked by the Devils 6-0. 6-0 should tick you off as a team, and the Sharks are going to have to deal with a ticked-off team on Saturday night when the Canucks come to town. But it's amazing. If the Sharks are 3-7-2, 8 points on the year, you know, they're only 2 points back of where Anaheim is. They're only 3 points back of Seattle and Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver. You know, 6 points back of LA, 7 points back of the Vegas Golden Knights. They had 2 points through 9 games, and now they've got 8 points through 12 games. The narrative has vastly changed on San Jose. They've got more points than the Blackhawks. They've got more points than Nashville. They've got the same number of points as the Islanders, and they're only 1 point back of where Boston is. Now, I know that October just came to a close, and we can only derive so much meaning from these early season results. Look no further than the early season results of Edmonton last year. And granted, they do have the best player on the planet on their team, arguably the two best players on the planet, which will help them rectify things. But, you know, everything was doom and gloom about the Sharks with just about 5 minutes remaining in Monday night's game against Utah. And then the narrative changed in a real big hurry. Suddenly it was 4-2 and 4-3 and 4-4 and then an overtime win. And then the Sharks got a win against LA, and now they've got a win against Chicago, and now they have 8 points. They've got 3 wins, and again, the narrative has shifted. People are viewing the Sharks in a different light, and the next step is to get Macklin Celebrini back, right? Like, they are evaluating him right now. He's back at practice. There is potential now that he is back on the Sharks on the 5th when they are facing Columbus. I think that would obviously be great. I'm not trying to get out in front of myself. If he's back, he's back. If he's not, he's not. They've been winning without him. It just took a little while, and we all want to see Macklin come back and play, but I also don't want to see Macklin viewed as the savior, quote-unquote, because, yes, while he is one of the pieces that we are looking at for the future of the franchise, it shouldn't be on the shoulders of a kid who's barely over 18 to come in and fix everything, just like it should not be on the shoulders of Will Smith, who is just a little bit over 19 years old, to be the guy who is going to fix everything. It is going to be part of a team effort that does allow the Sharks to find their footing again in the NHL going forward. And, you know, I am not expecting it to happen this year to where they're back in that postseason conversation. I'd love it if they were, but I just have to be realistic. I brought it up on NBC last night, the idea that the Sharks' first trip to the playoffs way, way back in the 1993-1994 season was also a team that started off very, very poorly before they figured things out. Now, I am not saying that the Sharks are going to quote-unquote figure things out and end up making it into the playoffs and doing incredible things along the way. What I am saying, though, is that it takes time. And we live in a very impatient sports society. If you're a San Jose Sharks fan, I understand if your comeback is Ted, I don't want to wait because I've been waiting since they were eliminated against St. Louis in the 2019 postseason. That was a half decade ago. Since that time, there has been a pandemic. Since that time, we have had Bob Bugner and David Quinn as the head coaches, and now we're on our third since that timeline. Like, yes, time passes. You're frustrated. I 100% understand it. That was when I had just started working for the San Jose Sharks. I want to get back to the point where we are talking about the postseason, where we are talking about every single aspect of a successful franchise and Mike Greer's vision having been, you know, something that's come to fruition. But we're not there yet. We are at a point where we are watching the early stages of players like Will Smith, of players hopefully soon like Macklin Celebrini once again. We're getting our look at Ethan Cardwell right now. I just did the broadcast for the Barracuda on Wednesday night because Nick Nolenberger had his first child, Bea Nolenberger, and congratulations, Noli. But I got to see Yaroslav Oskarov play in real time for the first time, and it looked amazing to me. again, these are these pieces that are being built for San Jose. It is being built one step at a time. It's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but we will get there. That time will pass, and the Sharks will be a contending team once again. Like I said, if it happens this year, I'm not exactly going to be upset. I'm just saying, as impatient as we are seeing the steps, the players, the foundational pieces being put in place to allow the Sharks to have that success once again. All right, let's get a little bit of that post-game reaction. Let's hear some more from Ryan Orsowski, the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, riding a three-game win streak. He was asked what they need to do to improve in their third period play so that they don't get pinned in like that again in a similar game situation.
Just can't sit back on our heels and give them free entry off turnovers. Then we get stuck in our D-zone. We don't execute a breakout pass, and then you're really stuck in your D-zone. So those are the biggest things.
And these are the steps they are taking to improve as a team. Orzo was asked about Will Smith's performance and just how long he's thought he's capable of having a big two-goal game like he did tonight.
Well, you've watched him his whole life. he can do that. We saw him have growth through his games, and there was always some things he needs to do better tonight without the puck. But for him to get rewarded with the two goals, big goals, highlight reel goals, really, the way they scored, it's nice to see because he's worked hard to this point. We've pushed him and challenged him to get better in a lot of different areas, and for him to get rewards tonight's nice.
And I agree 100% with Ryan Orsowski. There are still things that Will Smith needs to do better when he is off the puck, and he is still learning that in the NHL. But for him to take those big strides to score those goals, to give himself a little bit more confidence going forward, he said at the first intermission interview that he said that the pressure was off of him now that he scored that first goal. And unsurprisingly, in my opinion, he scored a second shortly thereafter that ended up being the game winner. But I'm sure he felt he just had to get that one because he's never faced a challenge like this. He's never been challenged like this at all. When you are as talented as a player like Will Smith and you're going fourth overall in the NHL draft, even when you're playing at these other levels, it's still not the same as the NHL. The level of competition, the speed, the power, the strength of the opposition in the NHL is unlike anything he has consistently seen. Sure, there have been some guys that he's gone against who have had aspects of that in their game, but when you're playing in an NHL game and everyone is like that, again, the competition is unlike anything he's ever seen, and he is going through that adjustment period, and I would say that he is adjusting just fine. The head coach was also asked about the four-line contribution happening for his team that was not happening before.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is we're starting to see chemistry with our lines. And when you see chemistry, you see pucks put to space and guys skating onto it, guys making plays when they, you know, Toffoli does one and we know his granny's going to be there. And they're starting to build that chemistry along with Ekki. Same with that fourth line. They were good. They give us good minutes. It's a heavy line. Cards gives them good energy. Grunstrom can skate. It's physical. So, yeah, I thought all four lines were pretty balanced. Again, we'll have to go back and kind of look at it, but it's been good.
Orzo was also asked about how the previous two wins influenced this most recent win.
Yeah, I think it adds the belief again, right? Like, you could just sense, you know, we're down 2-1 and we knew we were going to find a way to win a hockey game. You just feel it. And that's what we're trying to build here is no matter what happens in the game, we have a belief that we're gonna find a way to win a hockey game. And until we continue to grow on that and build on that, that's what great teams do. And we're going to start building on that.
Will Smith spoke after the game, unsurprisingly. He was asked about the three-game win streak, something the Sharks didn't do until the second half of last year, and just how he views things.
Yeah, I mean, we're just about to go into November, and I think, you know, people freak out a little too much about it. And, you know, we're going to turn this thing around, and it's already happened a little bit here. So we got a great group of guys, and it's fun in here and even better when we win.
The big takeaway from there is that he says it's fun in here, which I think is so important because last year, even though the locker room got along very well and it was a challenging situation, I didn't feel like there was a ton of fun. I didn't hear like I had the word fun brought up very much. And now Will Smith is bringing it up. He's the young guy. He is having fun. Guys, it's supposed to be fun. I know we look at sports as this very serious, serious business, but you're supposed to be finding joy in the game. That's why all these players fell in love with the sport and decided to make it their profession, or at least the overwhelming majority. You're supposed to have fun when you play, and the Sharks, it wasn't a whole lot of fun for the first nine games, but the last three, yeah, they've been rewarded with a fun time. All right, we are just about out of time. Remember, we will be back with you on Saturday night as the San Jose Sharks play host to the Vancouver Canucks from SAP Center, looking to make it four games in a row. Be sure to join us for pregame coverage at 6:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Go time, 7 o'clock. Vancouver facing the Sharks from SAP Center. I will be on the call for the Barracuda in Iowa. You'll be able to catch that on the Barracuda side of the app. So I encourage you to join me as we look to the Barracuda to see if they can make it six games in a row as wins. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.